بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. So today we are continuing our introduction of Surah Al-Muddathir. And this is the way it is with every surah, that the introduction is usually a bit long. And the reason is because there's lots to introduce. And in this particular surah, that is definitely the case. There's a lot of background. So we'll spend some time here, but don't worry, inshallah, once we get into the ayat, we'll start moving, inshallah. But still focusing on the background, let's just take a quick look. How many surahs of the Qur'an, I just want to know, if you guys know, how many surahs of the Qur'an are named after people? Anybody want to guess? Takes a second, right? So, anybody want to throw out just throw out a guess?
11.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, nailed it. 11. Good for you, brother, MashaAllah. Very impressive. 11 is the exact right number, MashaAllah. To my count, wallahu a'lam, there seems to be three that are named after people. And when I say people, I'm speaking about Ali Imran. Imran is just a person. To my knowledge, he's not a prophet, wallahu a'lam, I could be wrong about that. Maryam and Luqman, alayhim as-salam. Maryam, alayhi salam, Luqman, to my knowledge, these are not prophets. And then three after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. This is Surah Muhammad, Surah Muddathir, and Surah Muzammil. So after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three different times. And then you have five named after different prophets. That is Yunus alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Nuh alayhi salam. So that makes a total of three and three makes six, and then five makes 11. Good, that was a great shot right out of the dark, mashallah. He's like, quick, 11, mashallah. That was beautiful. So in terms of the order of revelation, it seems the most strongest opinion that everybody's, I'm sure, familiar with, that the first revelation was Iqra, the first five ayat of Surah Alaq, or Surah Iqra, Surah 96. And then comes Muddathir, and then comes Muzammil. Others switch that and say, no, first was Muzammil, then Muddathir. And there's a difference of opinion there. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam bis-sawab. But I think Muddathir being right after that, it seems to be the stronger opinion. Now, also there was a period of without revelation. So there came the beginnings of revelation, and then there was a period of fatrah where the Prophet ﷺ wasn't receiving any revelation. And then the question becomes, why? Why was there this revelation? You're a prophet, you know, you have this huge mission, and then silence, to the point where he starts to get nervous. Did I do something wrong? Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, there are some opinions here. One perhaps is to make him actually value it. You know, obviously if it comes and it just keeps coming like a huge flow, it's just overwhelming. But if it comes and then it stops, you're like, well, now I'm starting to miss it, right? And also, this period of waiting lets him calm down, calm the fear of what happened to him, let him accept what's happening to him. Also perhaps to make him, you know, like I said, miss it, so that when the revelation comes, he's more grateful for it. Now he's enthusiastic to receive it. This surah was in the first year of revelation. While prayer was instated perhaps only twice a day at that point later on, so in year two. So you're imagining that the salah is not established yet. Even when it gets established, it's only twice a day, and then after that the five daily prayers come down. So this is very, very early in terms of revelation. Yes, so now when it comes to the first revelation, this is one particular hadith that makes it seem like Surah Muddathir was the first surah, and we're going to explain how that is the case. This is in Surah. This is in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet says, "Jawartu biharin, Jawartu bihira'in shahran." That I stayed in Hira for a full month. "Falamma qadaytu jiwari." Then when I completed my stay, "Nazaltu fastabtuntu batn al-wadi." Then when I came down, I came and I stationed myself in the valley. فَنُودِيتُ فَنَظَرْتُ أَمَامِي وَخَلْفِي وَعَنْ يَمِينِي وَعَنْ شِمَالِي. I heard a calling, I was called, and I looked, in front of me, behind me, to my right and to my left. فَلَمْ أَرَى أَحَدًا ثُمَّ نُودِيتُ. So then I didn't see anybody. ثُمَّ نُودِيتُ فَنَظَرْتُ فَلَمْ أَرَى أَحَدًا. So it happens again. I'm called, I'm looking around, I don't see anybody. And then it happens a third time. ثُمَّ نُودِيتُ فَرَفَعَتُ رَأْسِي. The third time, finally, I looked up. I raised my head and فَإِذَا هُوَ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ فِي الْهَوَى. Then I saw him on a throne sitting in the air. So there's a throne just floating, and this person, يعني, and it says يعني جبريل, as in this هُوَ, this person. It turned out to be جبريل, of course. But at that time, it's just this person. فأخذتني رجفة شديدة. Then this trembling started to overtake me. I was trembling uncontrollably, essentially. فأتيت خديجة. So I went back to my wife خديجة رضي الله عنها. فقلت دثروني. فدثروني. So I said, cover me up. And so they being the whole family, they all covered me up. فصبوا علي ماء, and they poured water over me. Imagine, at some point you're covered up, at another point, just pour water on me, you know, just make me feel better. فأنزل الله عز وجل, يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر وربك فكبر وثيابك فطهر. And then these first ayat were revealed, that who is wrapped up, get up and warn and magnify your Lord and clean your clothing. We'll get into these ayat later. Now, that makes it look like this was the first revelation. However, another narration clarifies, بَيْنَ أَنَا أَمْشِي, that the Prophet says, I was walking, إِذْ سَمِعْتُ صَوْتًا, when I heard a voice, مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, from the sky above, فَرَفَعَتُ بَصَرِي, so I looked up, فَإِذَا الْمَلَكُ الَّذِي جَاءَنِي بِحِرَاءٍ, then I saw the angel that visited me in Hira. So now it's clarified. Okay, you were in the valley, but now you're saying that, you know, that angel that squeezed me, Iqra, you know, and told me to read three different times. Now I'm seeing this angel here. جَالِسٌ عَلَى كُرْسِيٍ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, I see him sitting on a throne that is between the heavens and the earth. So he's just above me, and he was calling to me. فَرُعِبْتُ مِنْهُ, so I was afraid of him. فَرَجَعْتُ فَقُلْتُ زَمْ, so I went back to my home and I said, cover me up. فأنزل الله تعالى يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر إلى قوله والرجز فهجر, all up until the ayah والرجز فهجر. فحمي الوحي وتتابع, then the revelation started coming strong and frequently and regularly. SubhanAllah. Why was this so shocking to the Prophet ﷺ? One reason is because, as Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Shura, Allah says, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ, you didn't know what the book was. You didn't know what faith was. In other words, these are not like Ahl al-Kitab who have heard of angels, who are familiar with this type of thing. You know, if you have zero background, like for us, if we see some sort of figure that's sitting there, we might say, well, okay, let me go back to my aqidah, my creed, my belief system. Yeah, you have a whole belief system in place ready to sort of, you know, figure this situation out. These are people that did not have this whatsoever. And so you didn't know what this was. And so you can only imagine that the Prophet ﷺ is having this panic. Now there is a different explanation that seems to be weaker, because what I just mentioned to you was from Sahih Bukhari and from Sahih Muslim. So these are authentic narrations. There's another narration. Now this is slightly different. We could say that it's weaker, but we could also say that they're both true, and that sometimes Allah Ta'ala will re-reveal ayat that are still relevant for a new situation. That is very well known and very well established, and there's evidence for it, and we could talk about that later. But we know that this is the case, that certain ayat can be revealed, and then when that becomes relevant again, it gets revealed a second time to say that this is relevant right now. So, in this particular case, we know that the Prophet ﷺ had begun his da'wah mission, and we know that Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Abu Sufyan and Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira and Al-Nadr ibn al-Harith and Umayd ibn Khalaf and Al-As ibn al-Wa'il, all these guys, they gathered together, all these heads of Quraysh, these leaders, they gathered together, and what did they do? They said, look, the delegations of the Arabs are going to come for the Hajj season, and we are giving way too many explanations as to who this person is. This guy going around and talking about being a prophet and alayhi salatu wasalam, and giving this new message. We have been, you know, slandering him. They don't say slander. We've been giving him all sorts of names and so forth, but we're not consistent. We're not consistent. We don't have a united front, and this is a real problem. So they said, we need to have one common thing that we say so that everybody that comes and visits knows that we are in agreement about this person. So what should we say? فَقَالَ وَاحِدٌ, one of them says what? إِنَّهُ شَاعِرٌ, he's a poet. So Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, he's kind of like the wise man, older man, and we're going to talk about, this surah talks about him a lot actually later on, we're not going to get to that today, but it talks about him in detail, we're going to talk about his situation quite a bit. But he's sort of the leader of the pack here, and he's like the older, wiser person that they respect, and he says, فَقَالَ الْوَلِيدُ سَمِعْتُ كَلَامَ عُبَيْدِ ibn al-Abras, you know, I heard the speech, the poetry of this person, وَكَلَامُ أُبَيَّ, of this person, وَكَلَامُ, and his speech doesn't resemble theirs at all. So the idea that he's a poet, it's not going to work. Because I know the poetry of this person, this person, this person, it's not going to work. وَقَالَ الْآخَرُونَ كَاهِن, so he's a kahin, he's a soothsayer. So when Walid says, yeah, but what is a soothsayer? وَمِنْ الْكَاهِنِ قَالُوا الَّذِي يَسْدُقْ تَارَةً وَيَكْذِبْ أُخْرَى, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong, sometimes they're correct. You know, they make predictions about the future and so forth. And then Al-Walid says, مَا كَذَبْ مُحَمَّدٌ قَطْ, he never lied, it doesn't work. We can't say that he's a soothsayer, because this idea that he's right sometimes and wrong other times, it's not going to work. So, I mean, he's right all the time, so what are we going to do about that? So pretty funny. It's amazing, subhanAllah. فَقَالَ آخَر, so another one says, إِنَّهُ مَجْنُونَ, فقال الوليد ومن من يكون المجنون. He goes, maybe he's crazy, he's a madman. He goes, well, how do you define a madman? فقالوا مخيف الناس, the person who scares others. فقال الوليد ما أخيف بمحمد أحد قط. He's never scared anybody. It doesn't work. He's never caused anybody fear. He's not some, you know, crazy person running around screaming and terrifying people. It doesn't work. This isn't going to work. So subhanAllah, فقام وليد. So Walid gets up and leaves. He's like, you know, let's just, you know, I guess he was frustrated. He just leaves the gathering. And then people start to wonder. They start to say صبأ الوليد. صبأ means يعني أسلم. But that was the derogatory term that they would say. Instead of saying that أسلم, he became Muslim, he submitted to Allah, they would say صبأ, like he became an apostate or type of thing. You know, like he forsook his forefathers. He renegated, he deviated, whatever term you want to use. So he went against. So the people started saying, look, he denied everything. He said he's not this, he's not this, he's not this. What's left? Is this guy, did he actually embrace Islam? So then Abu Jahl went to him and said, look, the people are worried about you. You know, they think that you embraced Islam. So what do you say? So he says, لَكِنِّي فَكَّرْتُ. I'm going quickly through it. But basically he says, I thought about it a lot. I contemplated. I took the time to think about it. فَقُلْتُ إِنَّهُ سَاحِرٌ. He is a magician. لِأَنَّ السَّاحِرَ هُوَ الَّذِي يُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ الْأَبِّ وَابْنِهِ وَبَيْنَ الْأَخَوَيْنِ وَبَيْنَ الْمَرْأَةِ وَزَوْجِهَا. Because the magician is the one who divides between father and son, and between two brothers, and between a husband and wife. And this is what he's doing. He's causing people division. This is the only thing that's going to work. ثم إنهم أجمعوا على تلقيب محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام بهذا اللقب. So they decided that let's stick to this title. Let's give Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم this title. Let's agree upon this. ثم إنهم خرجوا فصرخوا بمكة والناس مجتمعون. Imagine this. They went out and they started yelling as the leaders. Big announcement, everybody. Big announcement. We all agree. We all have one united position that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is a sahir. He is a magician. He's dangerous. He's going to divide your family, and we have to be united about this before the Hujjaj start showing up. فقالوا إن محمد لساحر فوقعت الضجة في الناس أن محمد ساحر فلما سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك اشتد عليه ورجع إلى بيته محزونا فدثر بثوبه فأنزل الله تعالى يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر. سبحان الله. This is so heartbreaking that the Prophet heard this. Imagine your entire community. Imagine you want to start as a prophet and you find out, guess what? It's over. You've already failed. It's done. We are all in agreement. We all reject you. We have all concluded upon one thing. You're a magician. You are trying to destroy people and destroy our society. And we are all in agreement. There's ijma' here. So you can go home now. And he does. He goes home and he covers himself up and he says, it's over. Subhanallah. I mean, that is so heartbreaking. It's depressing to think that before you even begun, you weren't given a shot. You know, they shot you down before you could even really try. And they've given you this impression that it's never going to work. We're never going to accept it. We are completely united. You might as well just quit. Subhanallah. This is such reassurance for anybody who feels like, it's over for me. It's over for me. This is very much reminiscent for me, wallahu ta'ala alam, of the idea of Musa alayhi salam killing somebody. I mean, why would God choose as a prophet somebody who has a murder in his rap sheet, right? Someone who is a literal criminal. Someone who has this in his record. Why would you do that? So you could imagine that he thinks my life is over. Forget about going back to Egypt as a good person or as a prophet. Forget about that. I can't even go back as anybody. I can't even go back to be a street sweeper or something. I can't even sell food or nothing. I can't do nothing there. Why? Because I'm a criminal. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala can take the person who is the most hopeless and tell them and let them know, listen, they tell you it's over. It's not over. They got nothing on you. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha ba'da a'udhu billahi minash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, ya ayyuha al-muddathir, O you who covers himself up in a garment. By calling him muddathir or muzammil, these titles, we see a consistency that Allah Ta'ala never calls, doesn't seem to call his Ya Muhammad. Even though Ya Musa and Ya Isa and Ya etc., you find different callings to different prophets in the Quran, you never find Ya Muhammad in the Quran. He is called Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, Ya Ayyuhan Rasul. He's called Nabi Rasul Abd, Abdi, my servant, my slave, so forth, and Mudathir Muzammil, but not by his name. This is a certain honor. And this can be seen as literal. He literally wrapped himself up, so that seems the most straightforward. But even figuratively, the one who is wrapped in prophethood, this is your new shroud. This is your new title. This is your, you could say, uniform, right? How do you identify somebody? Oh, you became a police officer? Put on the uniform. You became a firefighter? Put on the uniform. you get the certain look. Why? Because this is now your title. Well, you are now cloaked in prophethood, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, and this is an honor for the Prophet. Also, these titles indicate that Allah Ta'ala is understanding of his difficulties. Allah Ta'ala is Ar-Ra'uf, the compassionate, the one who gets it. I get you. Nobody else gets you, but I get you. I understand the pain that you're feeling. I understand the hardship that you are feeling. And subhanAllah, oh you who is wrapped up, another figurative meaning, oh you who is wrapped up in what? In self-doubt, in anxiety, and in hopelessness. I understand that you're feeling hopeless. You're wrapped in it. It's covering you. You just want to hide from the whole world. You're basically saying, similar to what Maryam alayhi salam said when she said, I wish I was something that was dead and gone and forgotten about, right? I want to delete, like if you just press delete, just I want, she's not saying I want to actually commit suicide, a'udhu billah, but she is saying, I wish I could just have never existed. I just never was created to begin with. Just let me just dissolve. Let me be gone. Poof, like nothing. SubhanAllah, which is very, very terrifying. It's scary that even the most righteous people can go through such a situation. So what about the rest of us? Of course we could. Furthermore, we should know that the Prophet ﷺ used terms of endearments when he called other people like Ali ibn Abi Talib. He called him Ya Aba Turab, O one who was covered in dust when he was laying down in the masjid and he got dust and dirt on his body. He called him Abu Turab. Furthermore, he called Hudhaifa when he was sleeping, Ya No Man. No man means, O sleepyhead. You know, hey sleepyhead, come on, get up. So calling somebody a nickname shows love. And like I said, what could be covered with? Physically the blanket, emotionally fear, uncertainty, anxiety, and as we said, covered truly in prophethood, this new garment he's taking, but also socially, covered by the expectations of others, covered by the opinions of others. You are covering yourself for the approval of others. You are covered with this feeling like everybody expects this of me, and they're mad at me, and they're disappointed in me, and I feel covered by this. It feels overbearing, and this weight is crushing me. And Allah Ta'ala is letting him know, I know you're wrapped up in this, but guess what? Get up. Qum fa'andhir. Go warn the people anyhow. Now, what is the difference between Muddathir and Muzammil? I'll talk about it a little bit this week and then we'll stop and we'll continue next week, inshallah. I'll just continue a little bit more. The root word is Tadathara, and it comes from a Dithar. A Dithar is a blanket or a cover or an outer jacket. So Tadathara means to cover oneself, and so it should be Ya Ayyuhal Mutadathir. That's what you're expecting. But sometimes in Arabic, to make things shorter, Idgham, I think it's okay. Idgham. When the letters get crushed together. So instead of mutadathir, it's muddathir, and the letters get pushed together to make it easier for pronunciation and so forth. Idgham, that's the right word. So one definition here. So first of all, this word dithar is used in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, where the Prophet ﷺ talks about the outer garment. But anyway, a dictionary definition: tadathara ay taghatta bi thawbin fawqa mulabisihi kadithar. ويستخدم عادة في حالة الاسترخاء أو الراحة دون النوم مثل الجلوس في النهار. So تدثر means to cover with a garment over one's clothes, a dithar, an outer garment, usually used in cases of relaxation and comfort for other than sleep, like when hanging out during the daytime. So this is a day garment. You're hanging out with the guys, and you just want to put a big blanket over you just to relax and chill. It's during the daytime. That's what I want to highlight. Versus تزملة. Yeah, that's where mutazammil, right? Tazammala, يعني أي تلفف بثوبه كالمصاب بالبرد أو المستعد أو المستعد للنوم. It's to wrap one's garment like the one who's afflicted with cold and is preparing to sleep. So it seems that one is your outer garment during daytime, and the other one is more closer, intimate inner garment during nighttime. This is perfectly fitting. Why? Because يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا. I know that this is something close and personal between you and Allah, and you just want to sleep, but guess what? You have to get your sleep off and worship Allah at night. Surah Al-Muzammil is talking about Qiyam al-Layl, so it's fitting that it's more close, more intimate, more personal, because Qiyam al-Layl is very intimate and personal between you and Allah, and it's during the nighttime when you want to sleep, so it's more fitting that way. Versus the outer garment is out in the public during the daytime. So subhanAllah, even the wording of it seems to be absolutely perfect. And so with that, inshallah ta'ala, hopefully we'll end this for today. I appreciate your comments and questions and thoughts, inshallah, so we can continue this. But that's what I want to finish with today. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who understand and appreciate the nuances of Quran. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.